Hey folks, before we get into this episode of Let's Talk Local, I want to mention our sponsor for the episode, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. Yes, that is my real estate team, and I want to give them some love. And you can as well. If you're looking to move to Utah, if you're looking to move across town, if you're looking to downsize, or maybe you're looking for something a little bit bigger so you can have an office at home, give me a call, shoot me a text. My number is 801-244-2908. I'd love to answer any real estate questions or help you out if you're looking to relocate here or like I said, move across town. And for listeners of this podcast, just mention this podcast and you'll even have access to our moving truck if you're moving locally within Salt Lake County, Davis County, Utah County. Just mention this podcast and you can use our moving truck. All right, let's get into this episode of Let's Talk Local. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm the host. I'm Chris Hollifield. Thank you so much for coming back. It is good to be recording again. Oh my gosh. You know I've said that on the last couple episodes, but I love podcasting. I love coming here week after week with awesome conversations like this week. Brett Johnson, he returns to the podcast. You know, I had him on I Am Salt Lake about 4 years ago. So I figured, you know what, it's time to bring him back through and see what he's up to and see how his tattooing is going. I mean, this guy's still winning awards, still crushing it with tattooing. I mean, he's been doing some amazing work. And I think it's time for me to get a tattoo from him. He's tattooing in Utah County in Orem. At Heart and Hands. We talk about that in this episode of the podcast. We also answer a ton of listener questions on this episode as well. And plus, it was just nice to catch up with Brett and have him here in the podcast studio and just see him again. You know, sometimes it's nice just to catch up. So anyway, Let's Talk Local. Make sure you're following me on Instagram on Let's Talk Local. And that way you can stay connected. Shoot me a DM on there. Tell me your thoughts on the podcast. Tell me what you're thinking of it. Tell me, I don't know. I love to hear from you guys. I love to know what you're up to. And I should have some Let's Talk Local stickers here probably in the next week or so. So if you're interested in one of those, shoot me a DM as well. And I'll make sure to get you one of those. So anyway, like I said, Brett Johnson is on this episode. You're going to love it. So let's jump into it. Here we go. Okay, so Brett, the last time you were on the podcast with me, January of 2019, episode 363. Well, yeah. So that was when the episode was released. You probably recorded in December, I'm thinking.
I believe so. It was in December, yeah.
And so now we're back. Let's see, what is this? 2019, 4 years later, yeah. Is about?
About four-ish years.
My life has changed. I'm sure things have changed in your life. Absolutely. Over the last 4 years. I'm excited to catch up with you. Plus, I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of new listeners.
Oh, yeah.
There's always new listeners and podcasts that can be reintroduced to you, but I'm excited to kind of get into just learning about you as a tattoo artist and spotlighting you, because I think a lot of people want to get tattoos these days, but they don't even know where to start. They don't know who to go to. They don't even know who's good, who's bad, how to find a good artist, blah, blah, blah. And hopefully today we can even kind of, instruct people a little bit.
We give some guidelines, some help people out.
Yeah.
Tattooing has evolved so fast, even in the last 4 years. TV shows, podcasts, YouTube. I feel like tattooing is the most sought after job, career, craft, medium right now. And it is... It's just on fire right now.
It's just on fire.
Yeah.
I know I asked this the first time through, and just for the sake of the recording, let's kind of get, I mean, how long have you been tattooing and where are you tattooing out of currently?
I've been tattooing for 13 years. I'm tattooing at Hearts and Hands Tattoo in Orem, Utah. We're right on State Street. If you're familiar with Utah County, we're almost right across the street from the Sierra Swimming Park. If you know where Wingers is, we're in the same parking lot as Wingers. So we have a big glowing sign right in between a barbershop and a dry cleaner. So usually you spot the dry cleaner first because they have a big spinning hanger as their sign.
Yeah.
So I usually spot that first. But yeah, we're right next door.
How long? You've been there for a minute, haven't you?
Yeah. So actually, so the last time we did this podcast 4-ish years ago, we were about to open the shop.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. That was a good reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. So we opened officially January 5th of 2020, and we've been open ever since. We started out with, it was just me, my wife, Suede, and Braden, and that was it. And then now we have 10 full-time tattoo artists, and we have 3 full-time piercers. So there's 13 of us all together.
So you were one of the tattoo artists that actually started it then.
Yes.
So you helped open it.
Yeah. So Suede and Braden are the two owners. My wife and I had a shop in Salt Lake. We were just so tired of commuting yeah. back and forth. And so we ended up becoming friends with Suede and Braden and, you know, just BSing back and forth. I was like, they told me that they were ready to leave the shop they were at. And then I had told them, I was like, well, we're looking to relocate. And then we just combined forces. They were financially and they were like 10 steps ahead of me looking for a spot. They already had their business license. Like, so we just kind of like jumped on their coattails and kind of just teamed up with them.
Okay. So. Okay. No, I love it. I love it. And we're going to get into more of that.
Yeah.
You know, I jotted down some questions, but part of me kind of wants to even just jump in to some of the questions that we got yeah. from listeners.
Absolutely.
I threw it out on Facebook and I know some of your audience even answered some of the questions or asked yeah, some questions yeah. and a bunch of my audience and a bunch of I Am Salt Lake listeners asked a bunch of questions. So, you know, they might kind of help, answer some of the other questions that I was going to even ask.
Absolutely.
But so I want to start, actually, this is a good place to start in kind of, my question of like giving people direction, right? So there's a listener of the show, Chris, who was actually, I recorded an episode with him. He's a local photographer and stuff here in Utah County. And he had a question is, where is he based out of, which you've actually already kind of answered that, yep, you know, at Orem here.
Yep.
At Heart and Soul. And he wants to know, what's the average cost of a small tattoo of song lyrics?
Okay.
So how would you answer that?
Oh, like
I know that's a tough thing to, well, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough question to navigate because tattooing now, it's like everyone has their own standard of what they charge and how they categorize something small, medium, large. I would say a loose answer would be anywhere from $100 up to $300, depending on who you got it done by
and how big you probably
and exactly are. You might, you know, saying you want song lyrics, I'm like, well, I want the entire song. From my professional vision, I would try to talk you out of just getting that idea altogether.
Why is that? What?
So words do not hold up over time very well. So if you take two parallel black lines and you stick them next to each other and there's no ink in between, eventually the ink actually migrates. Our body actually metabolizes the ink slowly over time. The two black lines will eventually close. They'll eventually migrate towards each other. So if you take like if you take lyrics and you get like an O or an E, even in 5 years, your E's completely filled in, your O's just a black blob. It needs ink in between those spaces to prevent it from moving and migrating.
Okay.
So a lot of times people want these beautiful, you know, kind of fine line script pieces that are very popular right now. They look great temporarily, but over time, 10, 15 years, you won't be able to read any of it. So
what would you tell somebody like in a case like that? Like maybe come up with a picture that represents those lyrics?
Yeah, or
maybe,
like I always tell people this. I never try to talk someone out of getting something that they're super passionate about because the lyrics might mean something very deep to them.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm totally down. You want to create that magic for them. But I would maybe like, hey, let's pick a sentence out of the entire lyrics, focus on that. Make them appropriately large enough so over time they don't close or turn into mush, you know, because you can do some pretty delicate stuff, but you just have to have an appropriate amount of space in between certain things to allow it to kind of grow and evolve with your skin as over time happens.
Yeah, because our skin changes, our body grows, shrinks, gets bigger, whatever.
Yeah,
right?
We lose collagen, our melon, everyone's level of melon's different. I just learned, like, so when you get tattooed, it's kind of a wild process. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but there's a cell that actually eats the ink and then encapsulates the ink, and that's why it stays in place. It, like, builds a shell around the actual ink particle, and then over time, that cell dies, and then a new one grows and grabs it. And so over time, the ink actually kind of moves, migrates, spreads, and so that's why if you look at a tattoo that's 60, 70 years old, it's going to look completely different from when they first got it. And so, you know, our skin gets a little bit thinner, the ink spreads. And so, you know, if you're smart, you'll design something. Obviously, technology's changed, ink's changed. We have Harvard chemists coming up with the mechanics and how to make ink so it holds better in our skin.
For real, Harvard chemists are coming up with tattooing.
There's a lot of taboo weird things that are happening also in tattooing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't tattoo or have anything to do with tattooing, and they keep coming up with these gimmicks to market and try to sell. So there's this new one that's hilarious to me. It's a temporary tattoo ink, and they claim in about a year, your body will literally metabolize the ink and it'll be gone. So you can get a tattoo, wear it for about a year, and then it'll just disappear.
So it's like a super henna tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But the funny thing is like, it's actually not possible, like on the science level of it. And so a lot of times these people are getting these tattoos with this special ink and then it doesn't disappear.
Yeah.
But they've messed.
It's not gone, Mom. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's the hard part. The ink is different. And so your body is trying to metabolize and eat it. So you have this gray haze on your skin, or the tattoo is just completely unlegible, but it's still there. So I don't know. It's a weird marketing grab right now. And so I don't see it lasting for very long, but sorry, we got off that guy's question.
But, but I think you help explain it, because as an artist, it's important for your work to hold up too.
Absolutely. You're walking billboard for my name. So
yeah.
It's a collaboration. I want to give you something that you're happy with. I want you to love it, but also I don't want to be embarrassed that it's running around the world. Then, oh, where'd you get that? Oh, Brett did it. And you're like, oh yeah, crap. Now I got to do 10 more of those.
Yeah.
You know? So it has to be this happy dance. So the best advice I tell people to get a tattoo, chase after the artistic look of what you're looking for. Like, go purely off aesthetics. Go off of what looks good to you. And then chase after artists that do like a specific style, or find someone that you're like, oh, I don't know what it is. I look at your stuff and I'm just so drawn to it. And then just get something done by them. Like, have them design something rad and custom for you. Because 9 times out of 10, usually first tattoo, people come in, they've overthought it, they've thought about it way too long, they've let all their friends and family weigh in, and so they have all these opinions, and then they come in with this like 10 pounds of shit with a, you know, and they want everything under the sun for a small tattoo. And then my job is to have to like deconstruct this horrible idea that they've kind of made and try to come up with something to make it look good. And 9 times out of 10, when people get their first tattoo that they've overthought, they come back and they're like,
I overthought that.
Yeah. Can we change it? Can we make it better? Because just there's too many cooks in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
So I always tell people, like, the more you get tattooed, the less you care about what it is. And you care more about the artistic side of it. You care more about how it looks. You're just collecting art.
What would you tell somebody? I mean, this kind of goes back to even helping newbies out, yeah, right? Like, what would you tell somebody that, and this can kind of even go into the song lyric question, mm-hmm, of, like, I know sometimes for myself, like, I'm not artistic, right? So it's not like I could sit and come up with this art and then bring it into you, Brett, and hey, can you tattoo this? Like, what if somebody doesn't know where to even start, but they have a little idea?
Yeah, so that's a great... My favorite to work with people is you give me 10% of an idea. I don't need you to tell me exactly what you want. Just give me like the vibe of what you're looking for.
And then you come up with the rest.
And that's what my job is. I'm an artist first, you know, like I've worked really hard on my artistic craft to be the best artist I can be. So you tell me, like, you know, here's a great example. I had this lady, she came in, she went to a previous shop. The owner of that shop was just so mean to her because her idea was crazy. It was a little wild. Like, I'll be honest. But he just didn't have that tact to be like, hey, let's work with you. Let's try to come up with something to capture your idea.
Sure.
But your original idea isn't going to work. So she wanted a tattoo for every grandkid and every child she had. She wanted like almost like a photorealistic element to represent every grandkid and kid. And so like she gave me so much information. I could have designed 2 full sleeves based off of what she told me. And she wanted a half sleeve. So one, I'm working with limited space. I got way too many ideas. So then I have to rail in like, all right, what are you really trying to capture? And she just like, I just want something that represents my love for my kids, my love for my grandkids. And then she said, I'm like the mother of dragons. Like I'm like watching over, you know, my babies, and I'm the big mother dragon watching. Yeah. So we did a sleeping dragon laying in a bed of flowers. And then we just did all of her grandkids and kids' birth flowers.
That's cool.
It. Yeah.
That's cool.
It,
I mean, she was happy.
Yeah. She loved it. Yeah. But you know, I captured what she was going after, the element of what she's looking for. I just want something to represent my family, but it had nothing to do with what she originally wanted. She was like, oh, I want an eagle for this grandkid. This kid plays the guitar. You know, this kid collects rocks. And so I'm like, okay, none of those things actually go together. So that's the other hard part. Sometimes people take elements that have nothing to do with each other. You're like, oh, I love drag racing and I love blowing bubbles. I'm like, okay, you know, artistically, I'm like, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. So that's why, like, you got to work with the people, you got to work with your client, talk to them, find out really what the message is. And then sometimes they get the complete opposite of what they asked for, but they end up loving it because artistically it looks way better.
Yeah.
And it still has the same message. So that's really like, be very open. Find an artist. Like Instagram's the best place. You can literally just go to Instagram and type in hashtag Utah tattoos and
you got every
artist in Utah that uses that hashtag pops up, and then just start looking for stuff you like. And if you like their style, reach out to them, you know, cause at the end of the day, sometimes people come to me and they're like, oh, I love your work. I really want this small little script. And you're like, there's no script on my Instagram page whatsoever. Like, I don't know why. I think sometimes there's this misconception of like, oh, you can draw these beautiful pictures. You must be able to draw everything. But I'm like, no, I've worked really hard to be good at this one thing. I'm working really hard. I don't want to be a master of everything. I want to be good at one thing. And so.
Well, what's your favorite thing to tattoo?
So right now I'm going through, I've always been a pop culture tattoo artist. So I do a lot of anime, do a lot of pop culture, like, references,
horror stuff, maybe.
Yeah, horror things,
movie stuff, movies,
sitcoms. You know, sitcoms. I've got a handful of office, you know, related tattoos.
Okay,
you
know, okay.
But I would say the one thing, a lot of, you know, I do a lot of color, a lot of full graphic color, a lot of illustrative color. So anything that kind of fits in that realm.
Very cool.
So,
well, let's ask another question here. This one actually, we'll ask it from your wife, actually. Yeah. I think it's from your wife, right? Brittany Johnson. That's your wife, right?
Absolutely.
What sets him apart from the rest of the tattoo community? So what, ooh, I mean, that kind of goes into question, I mean, it's a great question.
Yeah.
Kind of goes into like what you even like to tattoo. I mean, what would you say sets you apart, Brett?
It's a tricky one because I think the tattoo world has changed in such a positive in the last couple of years. It used to be just so like angry and rough, and people would have this very intimidating.
Evil.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to walk into this tattoo shop and I'm going to feel judged because, you know, I want a small little tattoo and they're going to judge me for wanting something they don't want to do. And sometimes that does happen. You know, there's bad eggs everywhere.
Sure.
But I got treated pretty poorly through the beginning years of my tattoo, like apprenticeship and learning. So I swore I would never treat people poorly.
Okay.
I would never make people feel uncomfortable and unwanted, because I felt unwanted so many times in shops I'd work for, people I'd be around. And so I was like, all right, I'm not going to do that. And so I try to make everyone feel validated. I try to steer them in the right direction of getting something really cool. And I just try to treat people kind. I feel like there's a huge, lack of kindness in the tattoo world sometimes. You know, we get so jaded sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, you get 50,
judgment.
Yeah, you get so many people that ask you for something you don't want to do, and then you get a little like, how come no one wants my art? Only people want stuff off of like Pinterest and stuff. So sometimes you get a little jaded, but you have to remember, like, at the end of the day, I got paid to draw. It's pretty cool. You know, like, I got to do something rad, even though it might not have been something I wanted to do. At the end of the day, I still got to use my artistic skills. I still got to tattoo. Still a good day, you know?
That kind of leads me into a question of, I mean, we've kind of, maybe we talked about it on the first episode, but would you say the clientele is different in Utah County versus Salt Lake County? Because I mean, back to even like the type of tattoos you're going to get. Like, is it more? Because typically Utah County people think it's a little more religious down here, a little more, you know, Mormon, right?
So it's actually pretty funny. I spent the first like 7 years of my career in Salt Lake. When I moved to Utah County and started tattooing in Utah County, my business quadrupled.
Interesting.
There's so much business to be had here in Utah County because there's this stigma for the longest time. And myself included, I used to say this to people, if you want a good tattoo, you have to drive to Salt Lake. And I used to tell people that all the time because I wasn't educated. I wasn't keeping tabs on who's creating art in Utah County. And Utah County had a horrible reputation for the longest time because Utah is an unregulated tattoo state. Anybody can open a tattoo shop here. Like literally anybody.
Are most states regulated?
Yeah. So Oregon's a good example. I don't necessarily agree with how they do things in Oregon, but at least it's something.
Yeah.
You actually have to go to tattoo school to be able to tattoo in Oregon. You either have to do an apprenticeship of like 600 hours or something like that. And then, or you can go to a tattoo school, pay X amount of dollars, and then you have hours you have to log before the state says you're good enough to, you know, go on your own or get hired at another shop. Utah doesn't have anything.
I mean, Utah, you don't even need an apprenticeship. I could open up a shop tomorrow.
All you have to do is go register with a business license, go to the health department, pay whatever fee they're asking for. You're officially a tattoo shop.
Buy a gun on Amazon for a few $100.
Exactly. And you go. That's the hard part is this is total tangent, but we're having Utah being the MLM world, you know, the capital of the world. There's an MLM kind of building in Utah for tattooing, and it's this fine line school academies that are popping up everywhere. Someone's created an agenda saying that normal tattoo shops are scary. No one wants to do fine line. No one wants to do these delicate, intricate little tattoos, which is totally false. Whoever created this agenda, props to you because it's working great. Whatever you started, you're doing great at it. Because they're showing all these women who want a very delicate, maybe softer tattoo that a normal tattoo shop doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
They don't want your business. These mean, you know, tattooed men are going to talk crap to you and talk down to you. They're not going to want you there. So come to my private studio or come to my hair salon that I happen to tattoo at. You'll feel welcome. You'll be more comfortable, you know, which I'm not against them creating a softer, cooler space because that's welcome. It's needed, it's wanted, but you're creating an agenda that doesn't exist. Now, there are some bad eggs out there. I've been to some rough shops myself, and some shops just think they're too cool for school and they don't care. And they'll vibe you out the moment you walk in if they don't think you fit what they want. But most shops are more than welcome to do a fine line, delicate tattoo. They want to do it. They're a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, like anyone's always welcome, especially at our shop. We tattoo people from all walks of life. But then I'll use my wife's shop. My wife works at a different shop now. She works at a shop called Lucid Tattoo.
Here in Utah County?
It's actually in Midvale.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful shop. It's a all female shop. It's
very cool.
Yeah, it's female owned. And it is amazing. They're all super welcome. They're super talented. They've created this beautiful space that is just welcoming and it's just really cool to hang out with. Our shop is a little different. We have an eclectic group of hellions that work there. You know, like it's a little more chaotic, but it's just because there's 13 of us running around, and you know, we have 3 full-time piercers, and they have a high turnaround. So there's people constantly coming and going through the shop. So our shop's just a little bit more busy, come and go.
Sure.
Whereas my wife's shop is very, very, very personable, very quiet, in a sense of like, this is your space. This is your time. We're going to really cultivate this beautiful moment with this tattoo and your session. We try to do that as well, but it's, you know, it's just different. It's just a different vibe.
Yeah.
You know, so, and not one's better than the other. They're both awesome. It's just going back to this fine line academy thing. These girls that are doing these crash courses, what they're doing is they're going around telling girls, oh, you want to learn how to tattoo? I'll teach you how to tattoo. I'll do a 3-day course. It's going to be $5,000. I'll teach you how to tattoo in 3 days. I'll give you a fake certificate that means absolutely nothing. And then you're a tattoo artist now. Good luck. And then they send you on your way.
You're like ready to go.
Yeah. And you have this false sense of confidence. You're like, fuck yeah, I'm a tattoo artist now.
Yeah.
And then you go to your local tattoo shop to try to get a job and you're like, you don't know how to tattoo. You didn't learn anything. I can't hire you. Like, what are you doing? And so then they go open up a private studio and then rinse, repeat exactly what they were taught. They do these really poor tattoos because they didn't learn anything. And then they're like, well, I make way more money teaching. Why don't I just open up a school? And then they do the exact same thing. So now they're teaching, even though they don't know what to teach you. And they're stealing $3,000 to $5,000 out of people's pockets. Because, you know, that's exciting. Why do an apprenticeship when I can just pay you money and learn how to tattoo in a weekend?
Very true.
And so it's creating chaos throughout Utah. And it's all these little academies are popping up. And I just feel like people are just getting ripped off.
Yeah.
You know, and then I feel bad for them because like it's not these guys and girls' fault. They want to learn how to tattoo. They think they're learning something, which they're not. And they just got totally, you know, money stolen out of their pocket and now they're stuck at square one.
Wow. So,
and the other frustrating part with it is you have all these people now that are doing really bad tattoos. So now we're
cleaning up a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, we're probably having to fix a lot of them. And then it's this weird snowball effect. And so there's probably 150 academies that have popped up in the last year.
It's so interesting. Yeah. I wasn't even aware that that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. And
I don't think most people are.
Yeah. Well, and so it's hard because like you shut one down, 10 more pop up and they're not breaking the law either. So learned this recently. If you do, you can teach anybody anything you want and charge money for it as long as it's under 3 days or less. You can run a seminar for literally almost anything. And as long as it's under 3 days, you don't need accreditation. You don't need a license to do it. And you can just rent a space for a weekend, do it, and be done. Any class that you charge for over 3 days, you have to be an accredited school.
Wow.
So they're just, you know, I can't hate the hustle. They're hustling. They're making money. But I can hate it because it's making my job harder because now I got to cover up all these bad tattoos that are popping up. So, yeah. You know, which is good for business, but also, you know, it just gets annoying. It's like if you want to learn how to tattoo, I wouldn't say there's a right and wrong way to learn because like I learned kind of a horrible way to learn how to tattoo. But then I'm kind of a good example of I was stubborn. I didn't want to do an apprenticeship because I was a young 21, 22 year old kid that thought he knew everything. So I started tattooing on my apartment in New York City and learned real quick that I didn't know what I was doing. This was way harder than I thought it was. And so when I finally got into my first shop, they had to break me of all the bad habits I taught myself. So it was twice as hard for me to learn because I was already kind of doing tattoos, but in the wrong way. So then I had to completely like start from scratch.
So yeah, you had to restart.
Yeah. It's, you know, teaching someone that already knows bad habits, it's even harder because now I got to break you of all your bad habits and then start you from scratch. So
another question here that was asked on our Facebook group. And actually I urge everybody, I Am Salt Lake Community is the Facebook group. Still not sure if I'm going to keep it I Am Salt Lake Community or not. Probably just keep it that name, you know, for the podcast. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how we do it.
I'm sure it'll come to you as it evolves.
You know, and there's a bunch of, we might not even get to all the questions tonight here, Brett.
Okay.
But another question, because I'm kind of curious of this one. Renee asks, do you have a go-to playlist
that you
during your session? Yeah.
So that's actually funny. So there's 13 of us at our shop.
Yeah.
It's kind of a first come, first serve. If you got there.
Oh, that's true. Cause the music's for everybody.
Yeah. So if you got to the shop first, you get to pick music, but it's pretty funny. Halfway through the day, usually someone gets annoyed at whatever's playing. So then they'll go change it. And so we play this back and forth usually every day of the music probably gets changed 5 or 6 times because we all listen to different stuff. You know, sometimes we're listening to hip hop. Sometimes we're listening to metal. Sometimes we're listening to very like electronic pop. Sometimes we'll have like Halsey or like Niall Horton playing. It's a very eclectic group of music that we listen to every day. But just whoever got there first got to pick.
Do you find it sets the vibe though at all?
Oh,
like,
thousand,
or what if like a percent. like a song you just hate is playing?
Oh, so and like, I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but so a lot of the shop they like to listen to Suicide Boys,
okay.
And I think Suicide Boys are like the worst band of all time. Like I can't stand
I'm not familiar.
It is
maybe I am and I just
it's to... I did way too much drugs, okay. and now I'm going to rap and mumble the whole time, okay. and you don't understand what I'm saying. That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay.
And so, like, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for that, but sorry, Suicide Boys is not my favorite, you know?
So what happens? I mean, do you...
So we listen to Spotify, so yeah. after about the fifth time it's played the same song, I'll usually get up and go change it, because I'm like, all right, we've heard this song five times today.
Okay.
Let's go change it. So sometimes that happens. Sometimes Spotify will just, like, circulate the same 10 songs.
Of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's usually whatever someone picked until someone else gets annoyed, and then they'll go change it. But yeah, oh, it totally changes the vibe. Sometimes, so our piercers do a lot of piercings for children. So we've gotten a pretty good reputation of giving children their first set of ear piercings. And so sometimes we got very, Mormon-based people that come in to get their, you know, daughter's ears pierced. So we'll try to, like, change the music, you know, we'll turn the death metal off, you know, so they won't scare them too bad, you know, try to put something mellow on. Because also it's intimidating for, like, a 5 or 6 year old child. They're already nervous. And then you got a bunch of tattooed people running around. And then we're listening to deathcore or something like that. And so we do try to, like, match the music for the appropriate moment for what's happening. So,
Very cool.
And sometimes our piercers, they do these piercings to help with migraines.
Interesting.
It's like a Western medicine style.
Oh, like acupuncture.
Exactly.
Kind of type idea.
Yeah. You have a pressure point in your ear. Uh-huh. If you can accurately find the right spot, it actually does relieve a lot of head pressure. And so what they'll do is they,
do you have that area to pierce?
No, I actually don't have any piercings.
Really?
Yeah. I have no piercings whatsoever. So
by choice.
I never had a desire to get one.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
My wife would love for me to get, like, a nose piercing, but I just can't see it.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I've seen those go down too, and they're pretty hilarious. Yeah. More props to the guys that can get their, you know, like the Prince Albert or, like, the Jacob's Ladder, but not for me.
Yeah.
That was way too painful.
Well, that's it. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to mess around down there, man. Yeah. Like, that would be the last area I'd want to, like, screw up or, like, cause some problems.
Oh, you just never know.
Have you ever had a tattoo down there, man?
So that's the funny part. I've had a lot of people ask.
Yeah.
So my favorite was, I got asked to do, this guy wanted a cent sign and a dollar sign on his nutsack so that he could have a coin purse and a money bag.
That's gotta hurt, man.
I've never done it because I'm like, one, I just don't want to have to, like, fondle your nuts the whole time. It sounds horrible. And also too, like, it's such a novelty, and then I'm like, I'll never post this. It's not like I'm gonna post it on Instagram. So
you just said no.
I'm not the genital guy.
There are artists probably in Salt Lake or tons. Utah that would do it.
There's tons of people that love and get off on doing weird stuff.
So. Another artist in your shop's like, hey, come over here, pull it out.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, man. Come on down. Let's do it. It makes for a fun story, but I'm just like, nah, I don't want to do that. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
You start sweating, things start smelling.
It's not.
I would have to charge a lot of money for me to even, like, try to get on board.
Well, that's the thing. You probably wouldn't even, it's not like it's that big of a tattoo anyway.
No. That's the other thing. A lot of times, people that ask to do that, they don't want to spend the money to actually get it. It's more of kind of a shock and awe just to see what you'd say. So another, you just never know. Some people just want to see if you're willing to do it. So
that is crazy. Now, Vincent, he wants to know how many tattoos you have.
That's
a hard question for somebody like yourself where they're so mixed together.
Yeah, I would say, so instead of, I stopped counting. I'm more going for square footage at this point.
Square footage, I like that.
I'm going for the bodysuit. So I'd say I'm about halfway there right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So is your goal like a full body suit?
Yeah, I would love to have a full body suit.
Is there a part of your body you are refusing to tattoo? I mean, it looks like you got some on your face.
Yeah,
you got some on your hands.
You know, 10 years ago, I would have told you I never would have tattooed my hands or my face.
Yeah.
But it's just more of the stigma that, like, I was kind of brainwashed to think of, like, oh, you'll never amount to anything if you do that. But now it's like, some of my favorite tattoos are my hands and my face.
Sure. Well, I mean, the one I've
got a tiger on the side of my head.
You got a hat on, but it's beautiful from what I can see.
Yeah, the jaw comes down on my cheekbone and then it goes up across my forehead. And, like, it's one of my favorite tattoos.
Who tattooed that one?
Suede did that one.
Oh, Suede. Yeah, you might have said that. I think now that. Now, have you ever tattooed David? He asked a question on here. Have you ever tattooed a QR code and did the QR code work?
No. So I have seen those done. I've never done one, and you can, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's also a perfect example of, you know, QR codes are solid black to negative space.
Yeah.
So that QR code would only work for so long because there's no ink holding, you know, separating the
black.
So it would work for, I don't know, That's also,
I don't know why anybody would want that tattooed anyways.
Cool. Oh, I've seen barcodes. I've seen the QR codes. Same thing though. You got super narrow parallel lines next to each other. Like eventually the barcode's just going to turn into a solid black blob and that's not going to work. But you could probably get 5 or 6 years out of it to work.
And then this is another good, simple, quick one is what's a good amount to tip a tattoo artist? Wayne wants to know. This kind of goes back into like a newbie.
A
lot of people go into a shop and maybe they don't even know you should tip an artist. I'll be honest. Yeah. I didn't tip on my first tattoo.
I'm embarrassed. Neither did I.
Because I didn't know you were supposed to.
See, I was the same thing with a hairstylist. I had no idea that you tipped
hair. Same thing.
Yeah. I went years without tipping hairstylists and then I felt like such a dick. I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I over-tip to make
up. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tipping is such a tricky one because like, you know, if you're getting like $100 flash tattoo or something like that, you know, 10 to 30 bucks goes a long way. But if you just sat for all day and you're paying someone 1500 bucks for like a day session, you know, it's kind of like going out to dinner, like 10, 20%, you know, based off your you know, how you felt, if your service was good, if you loved it. Cause a lot of people don't realize this. Our shop's a little different, so this isn't necessarily how our shop works, but most tattoo shops, you work on a 60-40 or a 70-30 split. So a lot of artists are, you know, if I made $100, you know, $30 of that's going to the shop. So you paid someone $200-$300 for that tattoo artist doesn't actually get to keep all that money. So whatever you tip them goes straight to them. So, you know, a lot of tattoo artists live off their tips. So,
well, and then they have their expenses too. Yeah. I mean, people forget that. And
I mean, taxes is a whole other, that could be a whole other podcast.
Yeah. We don't need to get into that. I mean, but I'm just saying like,
people think,
oh, they're rolling in the money. Yeah. And it's like, well, even health insurance, you got to pay for your own health insurance.
No, absolutely. It's like, let's see, just to cover health wise, my wife and I, it's like $800 a month.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, the other thing is Utah is not, self-employed friendly.
No.
Like Utah, the state of Utah does not like self-employed people. We have some of the highest like self-employed tax. And so, you know, if I made $100, if I'm going to be honest with the IRS, I got to put $30, $40 of that away because that's going straight to taxes, you know? So all these things come into play at the end of the day. You know, you might seem like, oh, I just paid you $1,500 for this tattoo, but that artist is probably only going to keep $600 to $700 of that. And the rest of it's, you know, supplies, taxes, whatever you paid your shop, you know, so tips do go a long way, but it's hard.
It's hard to know. And I've always even been curious because it's like, I don't want to like piss my artist off. No. I don't want to insult him.
Yeah. And I always tell people this, I'm like, I'm stoked if I get $10. I'm like, oh, you bought me lunch. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
It's just more the thought, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like, I've also been insulted where I tattooed this one lady. And it's, you know, I can't say what her life is, but it was very insulting the way she tipped me. So I did this tattoo. She opens up her wallet. I see a stack. I mean, like hundreds. She probably had $2,000-$3,000 in her wallet.
Sure.
She pulled out $2 worth of quarters and then slid me $2 in quarters and said, sorry, I can't afford to tip you much. Here's $2. And so, you know, maybe that money was going to something else, but like just the way it happened, I was like, I would have rather her not tipped me at all, you know, she gave me $2 in quarters.
You're like, cool, I can go do some laundry.
I was so shocked, and I was like, honestly, I would have been less insulted if she would have just not tipped me. I'd have been like, cool.
Sure,
yeah, but she pulled each individual quarter out.
Was it a big tattoo?
It was a $60 flash tattoo.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy.
So it wasn't like $1,000.
No. It took me like an hour to do it. So, but I just, it was the way she did it. And I don't know. I was just like, really? Like you're giving me $2 when I'm staring at like, you're sitting on some money, you know?
Is that safe to say that's the worst tip you ever got?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So to answer that question, it's hard because like I've literally been tipped $2 and I've also been tipped $1,000. So it's like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just whatever you feel appreciative to give, we're just happy to accept it. So except for $2. Don't pay in quarters, guys.
I think James Anderson, this is one of your friends, I think.
Maybe he came from your side, I think. He said, ask him
about some of his big things he's been a part of outside of tattooing in the art industry.
He's got
a lot of experiences he can share. And I know, I think we talked about that a lot on the first time we recorded with you with the sneakers that you were doing art. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute.
You know, that's the fun part with art and tattooing. Tattooing has opened so many doors for me creatively on projects I never in a million years thought I would get to do. Some of them have come from just mutual friends and acquaintances. You never know who you're going to meet and who that person's going to lead you to something. So like my old, so I used to work for Burton Snowboards, before I started tattooing.
And you might've said that.
And so, but my boss that I used to work for at Burton, he's well connected. He's just one of those dudes that just knows everybody. He ended up leading me to working for Nike for a short period of time. And I got to design, I think 21, Air Force Ones for the digital media marketing team for Nike.
Because you were doing the design for Burton Snowboards before, like art stuff.
I wasn't designing anything for Burton. I was just working on retail side.
How did he know you knew how to do design?
I've always been drawing whatever job I had. So when I was living in New York, I was trying to land an apprenticeship. I was working at Burton, just to pay the bills. And I would draw on everything. That's just who I am. If you give me a pen and a piece of paper, I'm drawing on it. We had whiteboards all over the snowboard shop. I was constantly drawing on them. Another side story that led to me something cool. So we threw a party at, so Burton's really good at doing cross marketing with different brands. So we were throwing a party for celebrities and it was sponsored by Jameson Whiskey. Okay. Jameson was coming out with a new whiskey. The guy that was throwing the party, he was paying someone to draw on the chalkboards, and the chalkboards were going to be the menu for the night of the mixed drinks that they were offering. So they wanted the chalkboards to look fancy. Well, the guy that was supposed to show up to draw on them didn't show up. So then I was like, I can draw. What do you need? So they gave me some chalk and a chalkboard, and I drew like a kraken coming out of this big curling wave, pulling a clipper ship down. And then I drew in like old English, you know, and put the drink menu on there and just tricked it out. And that led me to doing 5 more parties with Jameson. And then I got through that same dude. I ended up doing 2 parties for Absolute Vodka. I did one for Malibu Rum. I got flown out to Denver to do the bartender's bash for Absolute Vodka. That was chaos. And just to draw on chalkboards.
Dude, that is so cool. Yeah. I mean, your art has just led you down interesting roads and opened up doors for you.
I used to paint Kyle Beckerman's cleats.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd go out and play on for Real, and Nike would fine him.
Weren't you supposed to help me get him on the podcast?
I was going
to. Wasn't that what we talked about last time?
Dude,
I'd love to get a Real Salt Lake player on the
Well, now
the
that
podcast.
He's the coach for UVU.
Yeah.
Well, and so then that's kind of, again, going back to like, you never know who you're going to know. One of my really good buddies just graduated from UVU, and he was the sports medicine specialist for the men's soccer team and the women's soccer team. And so he knows Kyle very well.
Interesting.
You know, so I might be able to.
Maybe you'll have to do it, man.
I'll shoot him a message. I might be able to get you his number and see what happens.
That would be. That was actually 2 things I've never, like with I Am Salt Lake, the years of recording it, people always asked me, like, who would I want to record? Yeah. I never got a jazz player. Never got a Real and never or like U of U or any like more sportsy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I did. Now that I think, maybe
we might have to change that. I know a few people.
There's been a few people that I've kind of had some connections with. Anyway, that's a whole nother tangent. Yeah. But another question here is let's see here. So this Shanti, she asks, does he have any other dreams or goals he wants to achieve during his career?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's kind of stupid, but not stupid at the same time. I very much have, you find a lot of value and validation from higher end artists that you look up to.
Okay.
You know that the saying like don't meet your heroes because they'll let you down.
Oh, absolutely.
I've been let down by so many tattoo artists that I've looked up to, but the ones that haven't are some of the most amazing artists I've ever met and so encouraging. But like getting like a like on Instagram from one of them, or like a thumbs up, or like them commenting on one of your stuff, is the biggest high you'll ever ride.
Isn't that the weirdest like thing? It's like, it's stupid, such a, like a superficial thing. Oh, but yet, yeah. Dude, I'm the same way.
Someone of no note of notoriety or anything, they give you that one little heart and you're just like on cloud nine, you know, like my wife is my biggest supporter and she always tells me I'm too hard on myself, which I know I am.
We're all hard on ourselves.
Yeah. Man. Well, I think when you're doing something so creative too, like you're so judgmental about what you're creating, but, you know, she hypes me up every day. So I appreciate her so much. And then, you know, I think art wise, it'd be cool to be able to like do something unrelated, like with art. So like, our buddy Shay, he's one of the biggest, you've had Shay on the podcast, Cyril, he's the,
Shay.
He just painted a Porsche for Porsche's, one of their anniversaries. Like that's, he got to take his art in such a weird way that has nothing to do with spray painting, but yet he got to spray paint a Porsche. Like, I think that's so cool. So I'd love to be able to do something similar, somehow take art from tattooing and relate it into some kind of consumer good of some sort. When they launched the Ford Lightning, the electric Ford Lightning, they did a commercial where they had a tattoo artist tattoo in a rock quarry using the electric vehicle as the power source.
Okay.
I thought that was super cool.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, has nothing to do with tattooing really, but like, how cool would that be to be asked to do something like that? You know? So, you know, I don't know.
Something outside the box.
Yeah. Like get to using tattooing to do something different. I don't know. Would be really cool.
Do you deal at all? I mean, talking about being hard on yourself, yeah. Do you deal at all with imposter syndrome
at all? 1,000%.
Like as a tattoo artist, even though you obviously produce amazing work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Do you still feel like,
I feel like I don't belong. I don't belong or fit in whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's such a problem. So we have a tattoo convention.
They're going to figure out who I am. They're going to, I'm a fake.
Oh, it's so hard. Cause like, you put so much energy into your art and all you want to do is have your peers say, hey, that's really cool. But when you don't get that, you're like, oh man, does it suck? Like, did I butcher this one? No one liked it. Like it's such a weird imposter syndrome for sure. If I'm in a room of like, 100 tattoo artists, the whole time I'm like, they probably don't even know who I am. I'm a nobody. Let me go hide in the corner, you know?
Even though you've been in the, 13 years?
Yeah, I've been tattooing for 13 years. You know, I mean, obviously, like, there's 400, 500 tattoo shops in Salt Lake alone.
Wow.
So how are you supposed to know everybody? But I like to think some people have heard of me here and there, you know? And so, like...
The people that need to know of you.
Yeah, I don't know. You want the validation, but also, like, you shouldn't want it. But I don't know. It's weird. Like, I still do. It's nice to know that people I look up to think your stuff's cool. So, you know, but yeah, I never think my stuff's cool.
Fair enough. So the same girl, she asks, what's the most painful tattoo he's ever gotten? Oh. The place he hates to tattoo the most. I guess that's two questions. So what's the most painful tattoo you've ever gotten?
So my palm was the worst. My palm.
Even more than like the side of your head?
So the side of the head definitely hurts, but not even close to the palm. The palm is so gnarly. Like it is.
Is that why it never got filled in there?
Oh, yeah. That's probably what it's going to look like for the rest of my life because it hurts so bad.
You were like, screw this.
I was sweating so bad that I could have changed my clothes because I was soaking wet. Like, that's how much I was sweating because it hurt so bad. Yeah. It was horrible. Like, it's a 12. It's a 12 out of 10. It's bad.
What's the place that you hate to tattoo the most, I guess? I guess that would be on other people.
Yeah, ribs are probably my least favorite place
to tattoo on somebody else.
Yeah, it's just a really sensitive spot. You're constantly breathing, so your rib cage is expanding and contracting the whole time when you're tattooing. So it's like tattooing a moving object. Like you're literally, you have to like almost like tattoo with the rhythm of their breathing. And then it's just so thin and the bone exposure from your ribs, like it's like one of the worst places to tattoo.
Well, it seems like that's a popular area that people I'll go get my ribs tattooed.
It's a super popular place, but it is so hard. It's like one of my least favorite places to tattoo.
Have you ever tattooed somebody, like say on the ribs or again back to your palm, where they're so stoked on it, right? They're like, oh yeah, let's go get this done. I have all these ideas. And then maybe like a quarter of the way through, they're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then you never see them again.
Yep.
You never see them again because they have a half done tattoo.
I have one of my favorite tattoos of all time that I've never finished, and it haunts me because I would love to finish it one day, but I probably never will. It was this huge asymmetrical mermaid pulling a sailor down from his boat, like pulling him into the water. It's this whole thing across the chest and everything. It is probably one of the worst, most painful areas to get tattooed, across your chest, down your stomach, down your hip. Like, it's supposed to go from the ankle, up the thigh, around the knee, up across the chest. The kid that I did it on, I don't think he had any clue on how bad it was going to be pain-wise. And after the first session, I was like, we fucked up. Like, this isn't gonna end well. He wasn't sitting great, which I don't give him any shade. Like, it's
did he have other tattoos?
Yeah, I've tattooed him a few times. Like, he's a really nice kid.
It was just a lot.
When you have no idea how painful those areas are, and you go in it with just pure piss and vinegar and confidence, it breaks you.
Well, yeah, because most people, you know, they start on their shoulder or their calf, or which isn't the most, you know, that works.
Doable. Sometimes it's misleading. You're like, oh, that was easy. I can get tattooed anywhere. No, bodysuits are hard because you get your legs, your arms done. Those are like the easiest places to get tattooed. And then you start getting into the real shitty spots. Like, get your ass cheeks tattooed, get your tailbone tattooed, get your IT band tattooed, get behind the knees tattooed.
Ooh.
Like, you'll really find out real quick how, like, so I'm working on a back piece right now. I have a modern traditional Japanese Yakuza style, like, back piece. So it starts from my knees and ends at my neck.
Nice.
And it has been the roughest tattoo I've ever had.
You were like, I'll come back in 6 months and we'll work on more.
Yeah, I've been flying to Michigan to get it done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the guy that does it, he's so talented.
Why Michigan? Like, what?
I just fell in love with his work. I found this guy on Instagram.
Okay.
It's a perfect example of people when you find an artist. Like, I fell in love with his work. And I was like, I don't care where you are. I will fly. I'll make a trip. And he posted a drawing of a back piece he wanted to do. And I was like, I'm in.
Dude, that is, I mean, that's a perfect example. When you just, I mean, what, a few minutes ago you said there's 400 or 500 here in Utah, but yet you're still going to fly to Michigan.
Yeah.
Because it's important, and people listening need to understand that when you're putting something permanent on your body, put some time in and find an artist you like.
Follow the art. Let the art, you know, because, like, I always tell people, like, sometimes people, so when we moved to Orem.
Yeah.
I lost probably 40% of my diehard clients from Salt Lake because they weren't willing to drive.
That's so lame.
They just were like, I'm not willing to drive. So I'm like, dude, I'm flying to Grand Rapids, Michigan twice a year to get my back worked on.
Well, and I know people fly into Salt Lake to get work. Like,
it's like, you won't drive 30 minutes to come once every couple months to get a tattoo. But, you know, some people, they weigh what they're willing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you really learn how tough you are getting some of those tender spots tattooed. Like,
Do you still get caught off guard in some areas when you're getting tattooed?
It's it is such a humbling experience. Like, it's such a humbling experience. So I've, my pain tolerance has gone up just from having to be tortured every so often. Cause you realize, and then it helps you with empathy. I feel for my clients. I know what they're going through. I've been there. You know,
it's interesting though that you say that, because I mean I've talked to a few tattoo artists in Salt Lake. I won't mention names, but they have quite a few tattoos, and they're just like, I hate it. Oh, I hate getting tattooed, man.
It's horrible.
Like, it's the worst thing ever. Yeah. Like, I just
it's tender. It's because what happens is we get our arms and legs done super quick, and then all we have left are the worst places to get tattooed.
Yeah.
So every time you get tattooed, you're like, man, I never want to do this again. Well, you know, most of us want bodysuits. So it's like, you got, you know, you pay your dues, you get it done.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if my end goal is body as a bodysuit. I mean, that could be fun. I just think they're fun to have.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Not everyone needs a bodysuit. You know, I'm a big believer. I'm like, I live and breathe this craft. I love it so much. I want to outwardly show how much I love it by getting tattooed.
Yeah.
So,
well, very cool, Brett. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to keep these episodes at about an hour. Yeah, so absolutely. Let's kind of wind this episode down a little bit. You know, I never know how to always end these podcasts, right? Like, how do we end these podcasts? But I mean, we'll just have to, you know, like I keep saying, let's bring you back through and catch up with you. I mean, is there anything you were hoping we would talk about that we didn't talk about today? I mean,
no, I like where we jumped around really well, kind of about different things. You know, if I was going to reiterate anything, like,
I know it wasn't much of a story timeline tonight, but
that's the fun part. We can, like, hey, go listen to the first episode we did 4 hours ago. Yeah. That'll fill you in on my wild journey. And then, you know, get the updated version of what's going on right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's kind of where I want to help people You know, when I kind of rebranded this podcast, I was like, what can I do? Can I do anything different with it? Yeah. Can I do, you know, what would I maybe change with it? And honestly, it's the same podcast.
For sure.
But at the same time, I want to help people that might not either understand where to go.
Yeah.
Might not know where to start, what to do. Cause there's a lot of new people that have just moved to Utah and they don't even know where to go.
To kind of give you like the crash course again, Instagram is your friend.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is go to Instagram and just type in Utah Best Tattoos or Utah Tattoos, Utah County Tattoos. We all use the same hashtags to get our stuff like in a easily found place. SLC Tattoos. You will be able to find artists from all over Utah. But I will tell people, chase after the art. Go after the art. Like, go after what you're naturally drawn to. Because then at the end of the day, you're going to leave with something you love. Every artist has their own booking process. And with the rise of COVID, I think it made all of us super busy with tattooing. Because no one could go anywhere. No one could travel. So they're like, oh, I got nothing but money burning a hole in my pocket. Let me go get that sleeve I want.
I got my stimulus money.
Yeah, here. Exactly. So it really made all of us super busy. But be patient, chase after the art, and then just reach out to them. Because the other thing too is like, I get like 100 people that want a tattoo. I might say yes to 50 of them because you might want something that I don't think I'm going to deliver a good product for.
Yeah.
But I'll reference you to someone else that I think will do a better job than I will.
And how can people find you on Instagram?
So I'm just Brett Johnson Tattoos, one word. Brett's with one T though. So
B-R-E-T Johnson.
Yep.
Tattoos. Which go follow him. Yeah. Even if you never plan on getting a tattoo.
It's fun to watch the art. You know, sometimes I post goofy stuff with my kids, you know, like, you know, I'm always posting my beautiful wife. So, you know, you want to creep on her, you can check her out. So
any other artists in Salt Lake or anybody you want to give a shout out to? I know you mentioned your wife in Suede a couple of times. Absolutely. On the show.
No, I mean, check out our shop too. It's, our Instagram page is heartsandhandstattoo.com. That's our website. But our Instagram is linked to our website. So if you go to heartsandhandstattoo.com, all of us are on there. And then, if you want to check out my wife's work, she's doing all sorts of really cool stuff. She's Brittany Christine Tattoos.
Okay.
And then she works at Lucid Tattoo Studio, which is not affiliated. This is actually something I thought we'd get to, but if you've ever followed the tattoo gate that just happened in the world, that's a whole other story. But,
what is that? What?
So just a quick story. So this girl, she followed this horrible business model that this other tattoo artist was starting, and he was hustling people out of money. But she was charging $1,500 up to $3,000. Just for the drawing for your tattoo. So you had to pay anywhere. She had three packages. You either chose $1,500 or $3,000.
Wait, this was a tattoo artist?
Yeah, a tattoo artist was doing this in Canada.
So explain that. Tell
me. So there's a girl in Canada. Yeah. I think her name was like Lexi or something like that. She worked at a shop called Lucid Studios or Lucid Tattoo or something like that.
Okay.
Not affiliated with the one in Utah. So that's where I was saying that.
Yeah.
But so she was, if you wanted to get tattooed by her, you had to pick one of those three packages. So you pay $1,500. She gives you a thumbnail rough sketch of your tattoo. And then you'd have to pay her another $2,000 to $3,000 to get the tattoo, which is insane.
So but if you had your own art, she wouldn't charge you.
I don't even think she would do it, to be honest with you.
So it's kind of a roundabout way of charging you more money, but saying, oh, it's only for the art and for this.
Yeah. Which some people do charge for the art, which is not unheard of. But $1,500 for a thumbnail sketch is insane. Like, it's insane. And then that $1,500 does not go towards the price of your actual tattoo. That's just for her to draw. No artist in the world that I know charges that. It's just insane.
And so this is kind of going around in the community now, and people are like...
What happened was this lady signed up to get a tattoo with this girl, and she paid $1,500. She got a crappy sketch, and it was horrible. The girl traced it from someone else's piece of art. And then the girl's like, wait, that's not what I asked for. And then the girl goes, well, you're gonna have to pay me another $1,000 for me to change it. And so then she went on TikTok and she's like, is this normal? Like, I just got charged this. Is this a normal thing? And then the way the internet works, the internet exploded.
It just blew up.
And so that's all that TikTok's been talking about is this tattoo gate situation. And so then it's educated a lot of people knowing what not to do. Like, you should never get hustled. Like, if someone charges you that much to do a thumbnail sketch, like, run. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So,
wow.
But yeah, I brought it up just because, like, my wife's shop that she works at is called Lucid Studios, and they're not affiliated with the.
Well, yeah, I mean it's.
But they've been they've been getting like people DMing them asking them.
So people have been asking. Yeah, you're not just saying be silly on the podcast. Like this is a legit thing.
People thought they were the same shop that hired.
So was it kind of hate stuff that they were getting then, or just more
double checking? They're like, have you seen this? Is this girl work here? And like, no, she's in Canada. Like we're not the same. But you know, people jump on things. Yeah. And they run with things, so
I'm glad. I mean, there's so much we could talk about on podcast episodes. So maybe I'll just have to make you a regular.
Yeah,
through
listen,
here. You
I
know what I mean? Like in you know, Tattoo Mondays or something.
We could do all sorts of fun stuff with that.
Well, very cool, man. And so, I mean, do you have a website? Did you give a website?
Or no,
Instagram.
Just Instagram. It's just easier. So I have Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I don't post very often. But everything is just Brett Johnson Tattoos.
Well, very cool.
I've made everything just that one thing, so I'm easy to find. Even if you Google Brett Johnson Tattoos, all my stuff pops up.
Well, very cool. So, well, thanks for having
me back. It was a ton of fun.
Absolutely. All right. Many thanks again to Brett Johnson for joining me on this episode of the podcast. Like I said at the beginning, oh my gosh, it was so good to catch up with him. Been like 4 years since I've had him on the podcast, so it was good to see him and see how he's doing. I mean, you know, I've been following him on Instagram and checking out all the work he's been doing, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this guy is blowing me away. But anyway, go check out his work on Instagram. Go connect with him. Let him know that you heard him on Let's Talk Local. Hey, if you're looking, if you got a cool story, if you got a cool business, if you're doing something cool here in Utah, shoot me a text, give me a call. My cell phone is 801-244-2908. I'd love to chat with you and see what you got going on. Just give me a call. Let's talk. Let's see what you got going on. And please support our sponsor, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. That is my real estate team. And if you're looking to move to Utah, maybe you're looking to move to Utah County, Salt Lake County, Davis County, love to help you out. I'd love to see what we can do to help you out and answer all of your real estate questions. But reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook or I don't know, phone, whatever. I'd love to chat. Love to chat with you and see what I can do to help you out. So you guys have a good week. I am here every Wednesday. I guess that's the release date that we're doing here for this podcast. So make sure you're subscribed, make sure you're following, and make sure to tell your family and friends. Love you guys. Have a great week. Bye now.